Welcome to the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America with Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett. Take it away, boys.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you today, as we'll talk here shortly with Frank Bassett, who got back a few days ago, but has some great stories to tell about being at Augusta and the remarkable, historic final round for Scottie Scheffler and everything that happened at Augusta. Obviously a magical place all by itself anyway, so we'll talk about that. The PGA Tour has moved up the coast a bit from Georgia to South Carolina at the RBC Heritage, playing in Harbortown at Hilton Head Island. And so we'll tap dance around that a little bit and see who's playing and what the leaders are like. It's one of those precarious kind of position tournaments on the tour because it comes right after a major, after the first major, the Masters. And a lot of the big guys kind of want to take some time off. Now we're getting boom, boom, boom majors 1 month after another, and this is where their schedules get a little bit tight. But we'll tell you what's going on at the RBC Heritage. And we also have an interview coming up in just a little bit as well. Frank sat down with veteran tour caddy Casey Kerr while he was at Augusta, and he's caddied for a lot of big-name golfers, and we'll hear from Casey about stories he has to tell about life on the tour as a caddy, and something like 30 Masters he caddied in, so some great recollections by Casey Kerr. All that and more, so get comfortable. Thanks again for being with us. Frank Bassett joins us, not from Augusta, finally gets back to Nashville, and that's where he is today. Are you hungover a little bit, Frank? Or everything okay?
No.
The cobwebs cleared out?
Yeah, the Masters hangover, excuse me, the Masters hangover is total fatigue, you know, overindulgence and food. I think I had 100 egg salad sandwiches and pimento cheese sandwiches combined. It was just a blast. I mean, the Masters is always the first major and the first big party of the year, and it is. Of course, we were stationed at Azalea House, our friends, there, and we are, as we are every year. You've been there with us, and you know what that's like there. I mean, it starts at 6 a.m. and doesn't quit until midnight, and that's just the way it rolls. So, but it was a blast, and then had an opportunity to, I was invited to a TaylorMade event, which was a lot of fun. The CEO of TaylorMade at his house out in Evans, which is a gorgeous area of Augusta, for dinner, and it was just really nice. TaylorMade's got some new stuff, man. We need to try it out, and I think we're going to. So
yeah, they do have some new.
They do.
The driver, was it Stealth?
Oh, yeah.
I can't wait to pound it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't heard a lot of people talking about, but I haven't asked about the irons or anything, but the...
Well, the irons
and the Stealth driver are getting rave reviews.
Well, and the irons, the I guess 790s or whatever, our good friend Danny Medina is playing those. He was at PXG, now he's at TaylorMade, and of course he loves PXG too. But TaylorMade offered him a deal he couldn't refuse. So Danny Medina, Stone Canyon,
Danny Medina, in Tucson.
He used to be the director of golf operations for Omni Hotels and Resorts, and he was stationed in Tucson at the Omni Tucson Resort.
Host of the Colligard.
Colligard Classic, where we spent a lot of time. Yeah. But Danny and his wife came. I mean, it's the Masters is old home week, Tim. You know that.
Yeah.
All of us all get together at the Masters, and it's just the first big party of the year. We have our Golf Writers Association of America dinner. We award Player of the Year, Senior Player of the Year, and all that, and they all show up. So, you know, I'm exhausted. I mean, I'm still exhausted, and it's Friday, you know. I got home
Tuesday. Well, the thing is, it's like there's a lot of FOMO, I would imagine, going on there whenever anybody goes, because you just don't want to miss anything, right? There's so many things that are happening, and as much as you want to go, let me just get to bed by 11 o'clock tonight, but something else is going on, and I want to go to this, and somebody invited me here, and so you're, I want to do that, so... Yeah, I can imagine. I mean, at times I've been there, but yeah, how exhausting it can be because you want to get it all in. Right? You never know. You never know when you're not going to go again. So
yeah, isn't that the truth? And I thought I had died several times this past week. I woke up and I said, "Poke myself. I'm still alive. Okay, another day. Let's roll." But it was a lot of fun, and we did we did shows from there. I did interviews from there, and we did every evening they filmed us live from Augusta. And it was like a 10-minute wrap-up with different golf writers that Morning Read wanted to film. So, Morning Read, of course, distributes us. So, we did that. Had some really great writers that came over to visit with us from Sports Illustrated, which is a partner of ours, and they distribute us also. So, it was all in all, it was a great week. Wish you had been there, because it would have been then we both would have been dead this week. So, you know.
Well, what about the weather there? Tell me, hard to appreciate not only the topography that everybody talks about, but when they talk about the weather and the wind, or that's cold or it's perfect or whatever else, you don't always appreciate it when you're sitting at home in a controlled climate. It seemed like the last day was windy, cold, or at least it started that way.
Well, it started off nice, okay, and then it progressively got colder and windier, and it rained for 2 days, and it was just raw and nasty.
Yeah.
Friday, Saturday was tough. Thursday, not so bad. Friday, Saturday was bad. Wind, high winds, uber high winds, uber high gusts, and because of the topography of Augusta National Golf Club and how it drops down into hollows and up and all those pine trees, the wind swirls like crazy through that place.
Right.
So it was cold. It was uber windy. It's the coldest Masters I've ever covered.
Oh, is that right?
Ever.
Okay. Well, that's what I was so curious
but
about.
But then, of course, on Sunday, the heavens opened up. It got pretty. And it was a really nice day. Not very windy, a little bit, not much, but a lot warmer. So Sunday turned out to be a great day, and a great day for Scottie Scheffler, of course, and not so great a day for Cameron Smith. But that's a story we'll talk about too.
Let's pick up with Tiger, making his return, and everybody made a big deal out of that. I'm going to throw my 2 cents worth in, and not to be rain on anybody's parade. I was happy as anybody to see Tiger back playing. I think the overhype of it got a bit overwhelming, and that's from watching everything from the streaming to whatever. Meaning, we appreciate that he's back. He obviously had a limp, and he played well in the first round and hung in there. But just as a lot of people suspected, including Tiger, it was going to be the marathon part that was going to be tough, right? Could he recover the next day? Ice baths and all the other things. But every time I saw it, everybody was like, and so Tiger, I'm going, okay, he's back, but he's 15 shots out of the, but you still had to see every shot he hit. You still had to hear how that was still the greatest shot maybe he's ever, I think some people just, they drink the Kool-Aid a little bit too much. And at some point, I as a lifetime media person, just stop the hype when it's not real. We can all see that he's out of it. We can see that he's about to shoot the two worst rounds he's ever shot at a gut. You would never know that listening to the announcers, because all of them were raving about him and almost wanted to quietly. So I'm not trying to rain on his parade. It was great to see him there, and he made the cut. Just wasn't a factor. I mean, that's all I'm saying. It wasn't a factor as much as you would think if you listen to it. That's my 2 cents worth, and I'm kind of whining and bitchy here. But what did you think about
it?
Did you get to see him? Did you get to walk out and see him at all?
I did. Yeah, I did. I was up close with him. He was in pain. I mean, there's no doubt about it. The first day, not so bad. Thursday, he did okay.
Yeah, he did.
And everybody was like, oh, my God, he's back. He's back. But you could see after the first day when he walked in that he was in some discomfort. And you saw in his eyes up close that he was in some pain. Well, it progressively got worse every day. And there was speculation that not only his ankle was bothering him, but his back. And with that cold weather, that affected that. The fusion surgery that he had and all that. So he was struggling. On Sunday, I was right there when he came off 18. I was up at the clubhouse. So he comes walking down the downstairs porch at the clubhouse and walks right past me, smiles and nods his head, hello. And he's smiling, but he's walking with his hand on one of his people to hold himself up with a putter in the other hand to prop himself up.
He uses his driver oftentimes as a walking stick.
He did,
right?
He did, yeah.
You see that. Yeah.
So it was a win for Tiger to come back. I personally felt like might have been a little too soon. I mean, I'm not a doctor, and I didn't stay at a Holiday Inn Express. But if you know that commercial. I thought it was a little too soon for him to come back. I mean, that golf course is singularly the most difficult course to walk on the PGA Tour. Yeah. It's not on the tour, but in professional golf.
As opposed to the next week, RBC is as flat can be.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's right on the shores.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, you're right. There's such a contrast difference that, again, just like the weather, you can't tell from your living room. You can't tell how much undulation there is just on an average hole. I mean, just on six to go down to the and come back up to the, I mean, everything is elevated, twisted, turned. Yeah. One is to go up that hill.
Oh, my Lord.
Two, you got to go down the hill. I mean, everything has got that to it. And you kind of see it, I think, more and more as people get, 4D and all the super HD and everything else on your TVs, you kind of get a feel of it.
4Ds.
But it's still, it's still not quite the same that you have when you're there. And so for Tiger, you could kind of tell that it was definitely, and it did take a toll. He finished 78-78, which,
well, his
for
putting
me would have been thrilling.
Tim,
but,
his,
yes,
putting.
His putting was,
oh my lord,
was off. And so I think all of that, his legs, his body, when you ache and you're pain, even your putting is off, right? Because nothing's quite, well, right. Nothing's lined. Your hip and your back and your spine aren't lined. Everything's a little bit off, and that's all it takes, as we know, to lip out, to miss by an inch or two. And he did a lot of that on the weekend.
Well, here's an observation, and I talked to a couple of instructors about it. When, if you look at Tiger back at pictures in his normal putting stroke when he's, you know, hotter than a firecracker putting, and you watched him at Augusta as the week progressed, he got more upright.
Yeah, yeah.
Could and the more upright, that takes your sight line to a different sight line. I mean, you're
right.
You're looking at your line differently at that point.
Yeah.
That was obvious.
And like I said, it's only, right, it's only inches a lot of times, right? You're just missing by this, but
that's golf.
That's what it takes. The other part of that is that he as you could tell, couldn't read putts as he used to. I mean, he used to not quite be.
Well, he couldn't get down to read them.
I'm forgetting, that's what I'm saying. I'm forgetting his name. Why am I forgetting who's on the tour, off the tour? Who's the guy that used to go all the way down? The Latin American player?
Oh, Camilo Villegas.
Yeah, Villegas. Yeah, remember?
Spider-Man. Yeah. Spider-Man, yeah.
So
all the girls just loved him.
Tiger never did him that. But Tiger would get way down. Well, now we saw he got down about like a 75-year-old man would bend over.
Yeah.
You know, and just kind of hunched down, and you couldn't read, I'm sure, quite the same. So that's all part of his recovery, right? Is he going to be able to do those things? Because, and this, again, was the Masters and everything else. But, you know, making the cut was great, and everybody raved about it. And I thought, okay, it's a good thing.
I was hoping he wouldn't. I was hoping he wouldn't make the cut. I really was, just, because just I saw him and went, maybe he needs to break.
You kind of could see what might be coming up on the weekend, which was he didn't finish dead last of the guys who made the cut, but he finished pretty close to it.
Yeah, he did.
And that's, again, that's the part that, and I'm not saying we got to rail on him, but my other complaint about all that is, all the things about Tiger that have happened, and everybody talks about the recovery and this comeback and comeback and comeback, they're all self-inflicted. I mean, the car accident was a one-person car accident. He was flying. He was 45-mile-an-hour zone and had a one-car accident. He did the paratrooping stuff that Hank Haney put in his book all over, that he'd jump out of airplanes and do all this paratrooping stuff that would hurt his knees and hurt his back. And everything that happened, and we all know the personal issues, all the leaving the game and having to come back were self-inflicted. And so,
and then add the swing changes in. How many swing changes, you know?
I say that only to say I am sympathetic to some degree. I mean, I don't want anybody to get in a car accident.
Mm-mm.
But at some point, you also have to kind of go, okay, you got to be smart, right? You got to take care of yourself. You've got to do the thing so that you don't need five back surgeries because you're trying to be a Green Beret. So,
well, and that's what he was doing. I mean, he was emulating his dad because he couldn't serve. So...
So it rang a little hollow to me than everybody was acting. He didn't have, God forbid, but he didn't have cancer, right? He didn't have something that just fell out of the sky. He caused things to happen, and then he had to come back from those things happening.
Yeah. Or muscular dystrophy like Morgan.
Yeah, but, right. So it's like, you know, let's be real about that. And then, like you said, you could kind of tell that he was about to probably not play very well over the weekend the way he was. Now, we'll see, continuing with Tiger, we'll see what his future is, because he's already said he's going to go to a tournament, a little known tournament in England somewhere, and get ready for St. Andrews for the British Open,
the Open Championship on the DP Tour,
and
instead of the European Tour,
he's kind of committing to that already. Looking at, he's going to maybe be at the Open Championship, and I just saw yesterday it came out that he did apply. You know, he had to. Masters, you can show up when you want to show up. First tee, I think, is the earliest or the latest you need to be there. Is Tiger going to be? Oh, here he is. And on the first tee is Tiger. But the others, you have to make an announcement, right? You have to apply, if you will, in time. He did that for the U.S. Open coming up next month at Brookline, Massachusetts, at the Country Club.
Yeah.
So he did officially fill out the forms, if you will. He can still choose not to play. But he did fill out the form. So it looks like, you know, he's looking to play in the majors. That's what we know.
Well, that's very Hogan-esque.
Yeah.
That's what Hogan did. So, by the way, talking about playing Augusta, shout out real quick, just popped into my head. The young man, nice guy, who is with Sports Illustrated and Morning Read, that filmed our evening shows, Colin McDonald, great young man, good writer, really good writer. But he was running the cameras and, you know, kept doing the countdown and all that. 3, 2, 1, go. And I flubbed some lines a few times, or maybe just once all week. Really, no kidding, Tim. You would have been proud.
Would have been proud.
But he won. You know, there's a lottery on right. Saturday, and people enter, media and individuals media, enter right. to get to play on Monday right. at Augusta. And he was one of the recipients of the invitation. They give you an invitation just like you would come to the Masters as a professional.
Wow, that you're going to frame that thing.
Oh, yeah. He put it out on Instagram yesterday. He was really proud of it. But and had a decent round, you know, there. He's a good player.
Yeah.
So, but he said, boy, the course is hard. I said, really? You think?
That is really cool, because I did see that, because it was in, you're right, it was in Sports Illustrated's morning read,
mm-hmm.
And I did see where he did get to play. I wasn't sure how that all went about, but all the media get to basically put their names in, and they pull out six of them or so to play?
They pull out a bunch of groups. I don't know exactly how many, I've forgotten, but it's a lot of folks.
Oh, okay.
But you have, on the invitation, it has arrival time and tee time. It tells you what time to be there and what time you tee off, and not a minute before.
You know why they do that, Frank? Because if you're teeing off at noon, and Frank Bassett is in that group, Frank's showing up at 4:30 in the morning.
I'm going to Bloody Mary's.
You're getting that whole experience. That's why they're like, okay, we got to tell you when to get there. Get there at 10.
Yeah.
You're like, no, I want to be there. I want to walk the ground.
And they get to come down Magnolia, Magnolia Lane, the whole deal, the whole experience, which is really cool.
And it's all random, huh? Just a random drawing.
Yeah, random drawings.
Not about experience or anything else? I mean, not guys that have been there, not Dan Jenkins types or anything like
no,
that?
No, no. No,
oh, mm-hmm. That's cool.
That's really cool. Next year you want to come and enter the lottery. But congratulations, Colin. He did a great job with us too. Thank you for making me look halfway decent on film or digital or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
But it was a great experience, and you know, we've talked about the Masters. Every show's talked about the Masters over and over and over again. But it's just the Masters. The first part of the week, Tim. It was, I think, one of the shows we titled, It's All About Tiger. But then again, if you think about it, it's still all about Tiger, but it is Tiger. I mean, that was the title of the show, because it was. It was all about Tiger.
Yeah.
Now, then it became Scotty and Cam. Then it became Scotty.
Yeah.
So, well, yeah.
Scotty is playing Tiger-esque at this point.
Oh.
He is on such a tear. And we've seen tears before. A lot of times, I mean, Billy Horschel a few years ago went through it. Jordan Spieth went through it.
David Duval.
Guys have done that, where they've just been hot as a firecracker. But I don't know that anybody short of Tiger has been, and maybe Jack, I'd have to go back and do some research in the 60s or 70s, has had a tear like this. I mean, the guy, let's be clear about this. He won his first tournament on the PGA Tour in mid-February.
Yes.
And we're only in early April now. Mid-February, he won his first tournament. He's like a rocket ship.
He's number one in the world.
He's got the green jacket. He's unbeatable. And it's all happened in less than 2 months.
Do you know what Scotty has said? And that's incredible. It really is meteoric. Yeah. But there was something I read this morning. What his wife will say, are you going to take out the trash? Are you going to do the dishes? And his wife's a sweetheart. It's a wonderful family.
Yeah.
And he said he grabs his green jacket and puts it on and says, I have this. Do I have to still? note to Scotty, yes, you do. And don't pull that card, because mama don't care.
By the way, money's not everything, but it doesn't hurt. He's won about $10 million in that 2 months, too.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, the money's just flowing. And that's, again, we talk about this. That's what's so, I think, great about the PGA Tour. Not saying there shouldn't be some changes and do some other things. I get some of that stuff that's people are talking about changes. But getting paid to show up at a tournament, not having to make the cut, all those things. But when you think about it, this is a guy, and I'm not saying he was hurting in any way, but this is a guy who was Korn Ferry Tour hoping Ryder Cup. So he was getting there. But that can happen in that short a window that you can suddenly have your accountant calling going, I don't know where to put the money. Where are we putting this money? You got another
chip. Mattress. Put it in the mattress.
Keeps coming and coming, versus the guys who play in the NBA or the NFL. You sign your contract and you kind of know every month I get, here's my check, right? No matter what, here's my check. That's not golf. I don't get a check every month. Neither one of us do.
That's for darn sure.
It's got to be mind blowing to suddenly go, wow. I mean, do you realize in 7 weeks we've made $9.5 million, honey? You know, before I take out the trash.
And he still drives an old beater.
He's got his old Yukon, right?
400,000 miles on it or something, yeah.
Yeah, that Randy. Did you see Randy, by the way? Did Randy
I did, Oh, by the way, I did by? See. I talked to Scotty and Randy on Thursday while they were on the practice putting green before Scotty teed off.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
because we had Randy on the week before the Masters.
Randy Smith,
yeah.
His longtime instructor since he was 7 years old. So, yeah, got to see Randy one-on-one, and he said, man, I'd love to come over. But probably not going to have any time.
Kind of busy.
And he's a real emotional guy too. He was like in tears when Scotty was talking.
Oh yeah.
It was fabulous to meet him and to have a quick word with Scotty. What a nice young man. Couldn't be more proud of the Masters representative as their champion.
Yeah.
This year, I mean, they're thrilled about it too. They really like this kid.
Oh yeah, Randy calls everybody Pods. By the way, he's a West Texas boy.
Hey Pods.
Yeah. Grew up with the Gatlin brothers.
Yeah, yeah.
In West Texas, yeah. So he's friends with all the Larry and
Rudy.
And all
the Rudy's brothers. Rudy's pretty good golfer.
Yeah,
Rudy's I played with those guys. So here we do it at Ray Stevens event every year. We all play together.
Yeah.
So I should clarify the Gatlin brothers band and Ray Stevens, who's a big entertainer, has a charity event here in Nashville every year that I get to MC, and so. I play in the event. We have a lot of fun. It's always usually at Temple Hills Country Club here, which is a Club Corps club, by the way.
Nice.
So our sponsor, Club Corps, and our sponsor, French Lick Resort. Sorry, didn't mean to leave you second, boys. We love you, French Lick. Well, hey, go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm jumping saying, all
Rudy,
around.
Here you are. Rudy was a member at Royal Oaks.
Yes.
And so, Randy and Rudy not only grew up together in West Texas, but he played all the time and might probably is still a member at Royal Oaks. Anyway, so that's just Randy's just a great guy, great instructor, and goes back to Justin Leonard and a lot of different guys that have been through Dallas that he's touched and done some work with. He's even, he's all these teachers are pretty cool because even though Cameron McCormick is Jordan Spieth's instructor, he'll go to Royal Oaks and play, and Randy will, and they'll get tidbits from here, and Randy will throw, and they're not offended. They're not trying to steal a guy from somebody else or anything like that. So Randy's, all those guys that have come through Dallas, Randy's had some touch with, and looked at and kind of given his blessing as he's become a bit of the patriarch of Dallas, at least.
Is he the pro emeritus there at Royal Oaks?
Yes.
Now?
Okay. Yes.
Yeah, well, he said, come on out and play the course.
Oh yeah,
I said not on a day that Scotty's going to be there or Spieth or any of those people because I can't afford to get in the game with them.
Yeah, yeah.
And Scotty's spotting his buds, right? His pods at Royal Oaks, 10 strokes.
Oh my god!
And he's still beating them.
I don't know. It's hard to win money, isn't it, when you have to give up so much?
Well, you know what though? This is the point. Of course, you lose a couple of $100, but you're getting to play with a PGA Tour pro and, by the way, the Masters champion. So it's probably worth a couple of hundred. People would pay tens of thousands to get to play with him.
Yeah, they'll put a little something. They probably already got at Royal Oaks. They've got a trophy case going up that they're going to put some kind of Masters tribute to Scotty. That'll be right there in the lobby.
Course.
Next to Spieth stuff from the 97 British Open. Yeah, it's a great story, and so happy to see Scotty. But I don't know when he's going to play again. And if he's going to win, my guess is he will. Why would you bet against him?
Player of the year already. I mean, unless
he is,
unless Jesus comes down and plays golf, he's player of the year. I don't know how anybody can top that right now.
Let's take a quick break. We're going to fill in some talking about sponsors and French Lick and everybody else in Azalea House. And then we're going to come back. We'll hear from Casey Kerr, the caddy who you can tell people about when we come back out of this, but a veteran caddy that caddy for a lot of the names that we've all heard about from Fuzzy and Freddie and VJ and those guys at the Masters and all over the world. So let's take a quick break, and then we'll hear Frank interviewing Casey Kerr. You're listening to Golf Talk America, and Frank and I will be back right after this.
Guys, just because it's spring doesn't mean you have to spend your time hunting for eggs. The right pair of underwear puts all your eggs in one basket and keeps them there. That's Tommy John's Hammock Pouch Underwear. When you're wearing Tommy John's Hammock Pouch Underwear, you're that much more comfortable, so you can do everything better. And they have dozens of comfort innovations. Once you've tried Tommy John Underwear, you're never going back. Innovations such as an air mesh interior hammock and moisture wicking fabric with four times the stretch of competing brands. Plus, the legs never ride up, and Tommy John Underwear comes with a non-rolling waistband for the perfect fit. That's why Tommy John doesn't have customers. They have fanatics. I know, because I'm one of them. They're one of the best pairs of underwear I've ever worn. As much as I travel on the PGA Tour week in and week out and doing TV and radio, they never have failed me. And guess what? Shipping and returns are free because every pair is backed by Tommy John's best pair you'll ever wear, and it's free guarantee. Folks, it's Tommy John's anniversary month, so whether you're trying them for the first time or a longtime fan, get 25% off site-wide right now at TommyJohn.com/golftalk. Go to TommyJohn.com/golftalk today for 25% off. TommyJohn.com/golftalk. See site for details. Folks, do you like coffee as much as I do? Why, I'm not a coffee snob, but I absolutely love my coffee and have to have it every morning and a lot of times in the afternoon and then sometimes, really, at night. Well, there's a company I want you to look at. It's called Trade Coffee. Trade Coffee is an incredible product that connects their customers to the freshest and best-tasting coffee they've ever made at home by partnering with the country's best craft roasters. These are independent businesses from big cities and small towns. Trade customers are truly impactful for these independent roasters, often being the largest source of new growth for them. Expert tasted coffee. Trade Coffee team actually tests thousands of different coffees to keep 450 different kinds live and ready to ship every day. I can't tell you which one is my favorite because Trade Coffee shipped me a lot of their different products to test, and they're all really good. It just depends on your taste, and they'll certainly work with you to make that happen. They, you know, your friends, maybe coffee snobs, well, tell them to try Trade Coffee, because the truth is, what I like and what you like could be totally different. You need to try the different types of coffee. Just answer a couple of questions, and you'll get your own personalized variety of coffees delivered fresh to you as often as you like. There are no gimmicks here. Trade delivers a bag of freshly roasted coffee as whole beans or ground for however you brew it at home. Personally, for me, I like to grind the beans fresh every morning. Trade has delivered over 5 million bags of fresh coffee with more than 750,000 positive reviews. Right now, Trade is offering new subscribers a total of $30 off your first order plus free shipping. When you go to drinktrade.com/golftalk. That's drinktrade.com/golftalk. That's more than 40 cups of coffee free. Get started by taking their quiz at drinktrade.com/golftalk and let Trade find you a coffee you'll love. That's drinktrade.com/golftalk for $30 off.
And welcome back to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett talking about all kinds of stuff, but a lot of what happened the past week at the Masters and Scottie Scheffler. Also, as we said, the RBC Heritage taking place at another one of Frank's favorite hangouts. That would be Harbortown.
Yes.
And again, the field, I mean, you got Joaquin Niemann and Harold Varner is playing there and some other guys that came from the Masters. Patton Kizzire had a really nice round there. He's at 5-under 67. But a lot of the guys, the bigger names that we're talking about, Scheffler and Koepka and a lot of the guys, take some time off after the big push because as tired as you are, Frank, and I know you are from from the Masters, those guys are exhausted, right? It's a mental and physical strain to get hyped up for a big major like that, to play as hard as you can, to have all the pressure and tension. You got to have a release. So a lot of times the next week or two, those guys just take off.
Well,
and are playing, so
had an opportunity to speak with someone, with Curtis Strange, and he said he was doing media all week. Right? He said this is more difficult covering the Masters than playing in it. I can tell you right now. He said I've never worked so many hours and so hard and been so exhausted in my life, and it's true. Todd Lewis from the Golf Channel, we met at T-Bones one night, and he called and sent me a text. Said, "Come on, let's catch up." So we see each other at the Masters and other tournaments. But I looked at Todd and I said, "Are you tired?" And he went, "Oh my God." And he looked tired. And he said, You look just about as bad as I do." I said, "I wish I looked as bad as you do, pal." But we were all worn out. But just tough.
Well, how did you run into, tell us, we teased it before the break. A veteran caddy, Casey Kerr, did he come to Azalea House? Is that where you were? You were on the patio there, or you came over, or where were you?
Well, he knows Marcus, our friend, owns Azalea Hospitality. So he came over to the house because Marcus told him about the show. He's listened to our show and knows us. So Marcus said, well, why don't you come over and we'll have Frank interview you. And he said, oh, I'd love to. So he came over.
Oh, so Marcus is producing for us now.
Now Marcus is, he's a talent agent for us now. Yeah,
he's out recruiting.
Thank you, Marcus.
I didn't know that.
But yeah. By the way, go to azaleahospitality.com, Azalea House. Check it out. Look it up. They're selling Masters tickets for 2023. They're already pre-orders are coming in.
But they
like
do
crazy.
Other events as well.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. They do a bunch of events around the country.
Super Bowls and all kinds of big sporting events.
They want to do waste management next year, and I tried to talk Marcus out of that. I said, let's do a different tournament, Marcus, than that one, because that's crazy. That's just going to be too nuts for us. But anyway, long story short, Casey comes over. We meet.
How old is Casey, would you say?
He's in his late 50s, I guess.
Okay.
I guess. I'm not sure.
Like 80s, 90s?
Yeah, he caddied for Fuzzy, Zeller, Freddie Couples, Vijay Singh, Ernie Els, many more guys. I mean, a lot. He did some work with Matthew Fitzpatrick of recent. So, but he's 35 years as a professional caddy. And Casey, I have to tell you, is a class act. Casey Kerr is a class act. I really enjoyed sitting down with him and having the interview. But he sits down in front of me, and it's early in the morning, excuse me, with a Bloody Mary. And I didn't have one. I said, this is not fair. You're sitting there with a Bloody, and I'm not. He said, let me get you one. I said, that's okay. I've got pull here. I just raised my hand. They brought me one straight over. So there you go.
Nice. Well, so he has been around for a long time, caddied at, I think you told me, was it like 30 Masters, right?
Yeah, he's caddied in 30 straight Masters.
Wow.
Not this year, but caddied in 30 straight Masters. 35 years, 1,000 loops. I mean, you know, wow.
Crazy. Yeah, the stories you could tell. Well, we'll tell you about it because, go ahead.
No, yeah, he's got some stories, and we got some out of him, by the way. So
Perfect. Yeah. So let's sit back, listen. This is Frank. About 7 days ago or so, talking with veteran caddy Casey Kerr at Augusta.
There's that funky music. Kind of like that stuff. Frank Bassett back with you. We are live in Augusta, Georgia. Where else would we be this time of year? It's the Masters. It's the 2022 edition of the Masters, and there's some stuff going on across the street there at the National. Scottie Scheffler's playing some really good golf. Cam Smith turned it on yesterday. Tiger Woods turned it off. His putter went cold on him. But all that being said, the important part of this this segment is that I have one of the most famous caddies that's ever been out there. I mean, I'll let him tell you the story, but he has caddied for the likes of Ernie Els, Vijay Singh, Fuzzy, Freddie, and many others, I think multiple Masters champions, and 35 years caddying out there, 1,000 rounds of golf he's toted the bag for and helped men win on the PGA Tour. I'll tell you what, honored to meet him, Casey Kerr. Thanks, buddy. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, good morning, Frank. How are you?
I'm doing good, but you're sitting across from me with a Bloody, and I don't have one yet. I've been over here working. How fair is that?
Well, we're getting ready to head out to the course, so we just thought we'd wake up to a breakfast of champions.
You know what? It's so much more than just a breakfast drink, though. It's something you can do all day. Hey, Casey, I thanks for being here, number one. Yeah. Thanks for taking your time.
Yeah,
and
thank you.
Big fan of yours and what you've done. Give our listeners just a little bit about all those Masters champions that you've caddied for.
Well, 1987 was my first year here with Hubert Greene. Then I went on to Fuzzy Zeller. I've had 8 Masters champions total that I've caddied for, and it's just been a great run. I caddied in 30 Masters in a row, which I really enjoyed, even though the course is very difficult to walk, and mentally, like today being Sunday, you know, the guys are tired. The guys that are near the lead, you know, they're running on adrenaline. I mean, it's the last day to have a chance to put on the green jacket. And because of the difficulty of the course, physically and mentally, you know, the guy that slips that jacket on, he has earned it.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I called it last night. We were doing some vignettes for Sports Illustrated on TV. And I called it the Battle of the Back Nine. And I think that's pretty much what it is every Sunday. at Augusta when you're coming in, outside of the fact in 97 when Tiger Woods backed into it just very easily.
Well, if you speak about that part, too, you got to remember, everyone recalls Larry Mize was in a playoff with Ballesteros and Greg Norman, and I remember being in the caddy shack, and everyone thought it was either going to be Norman or Ballesteros with the green jacket, and it ended up being Larry Mize.
With the sand wedge out of the, yeah. That was pretty impressive stuff.
Yeah, and 11, being they lengthened 11, I think 11's, I predicted early in the week it would be the hardest hole of the week. So going into Amen Corner, if it is tight, should Scotty be close to, what's the Australian kid's name?
Cam Smith.
Cam Smith. Yeah. Should he have a chance? I think 11 is going to be the pivotal hole.
I'm glad you said that because I have a bet with our friend Marcus here at Azalea House.
Sure.
And he said 12. I said, 12?
No.
I said, you're crazy. I said, 11 is the toughest hole out there.
It's 11.
Pivotal.
11 sets up for the momentum to make the 12 tee shot either easier
or
put more pressure.
Yeah.
One thing about watching 12 today, for you golf fans out there, the key to number 12 is, on a day like today, is you have to start the ball left of the flag.
Okay.
You have to start the ball left of the flag. Anything right of the flag where the traditional pin is today, it just makes that hole longer. It hits that bank, comes down into the water, or it hits a gust, and all of a sudden you just, if you're the caddy, I mean, it is just terrible from there on in.
We're talking with longtime historical caddy Casey Kerr. Casey, I always start on that hole when I played it. I've started it really left. I mean, really left, which sets up for absolutely nothing except a double or a triple for me.
This
has been a good Masters. It's been, the weather has been brutal this week. It's been hot, then it's been cold, it's been windy. It's what are your observations about how this weather's affected these players?
Great question. I went out there Thursday and Friday, walked the course. Weather was phenomenal. Chamber of Commerce Day. I did not go yesterday. I had two customers that went out, and they said it was Baltic. It was cold.
Baltic. That's a good term.
Yeah, so for a golfer, you know, it's hard to get a feel in your hands with the putter when it's that cold.
That's exactly what Tiger said.
Oh, he did?
That's exactly what he said. He said, I just could not. It was cold. I couldn't get a feel for the putter.
Yeah.
But one of the things I observed with Tiger, not to take away from our interview, but
sure,
he looked like he was standing more upright when he was putting than he normally does, and that takes your line up. You know what that does to your sight line, and he missed a ton of putts.
Well, I just saw him on TV sitting here at the Azalea House.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, we know it's been a long week physically. We know how tough the course is to walk, and, you know, watching him limp, before he starts out, he's already in pain.
Yeah.
So we know historically that he's been in pain and won that major in San Diego when he had to have his knee.
Torrey, yeah.
And so whatever pain he's in, I'm sure it's magnified, multiplied, way worse than he would admit because he's a tough guy.
He's not a crier. He's not a whiner. He's just a winner.
Yeah, and one thing about winners – winners win.
They do. Show me a gracious loser, and I'll show you a consistent loser. I'm not a gracious loser, especially playing with Marcus and our buddies here. They try to get your car title, your home mortgage. They want everything off of you. Listen, let me ask you this.
Sure.
I mean, you, all the guys you caddied for in the world, one of my favorite people, and there are a lot of my favorite people.
Sure,
I know a lot of the guys
sure.
like you do, but Fuzzy and I have spent some time together through some of his business endeavors, and of course the vodka was a lot of fun. Did Fuzzy sign a bottle of Fuzzy vodka for you, a vintage bottle, and give it to you?
No, he did not. Hey, but I will say, I always ask him how business is, and he says we drink more than we sell.
He's always said that. I won't get into my stories. This is about you. What do you remember? And I know you've got tons, right? But one of the funniest stories, just off-the-wall funny story over at the National that occurs.
Well, the first time I caddied for Fuzzy was at Augusta National.
Oh, Lord.
And I don't know about funny, but I can tell you I was a little scotch miss on the first hole, little air coming into us in the middle of the fairway, and we were in between yardages. And, I mean, right out of the gate the first day, He said, "What do you like?"
Oh boy!
And I, you know, as a caddy, first time ever caddying for a guy is a challenge. First time caddying for a guy at the Masters is a taller order.
But, oh sure.
I mean, I felt like I was up to it. Anyways, I got lucky. I don't remember if he hit 6 or 7. To be honest with you, it was one of those two clubs, but he hit it 4 feet from the pin.
Stiffed it. Yeah.
The pin was back left 27, which was the traditional Thursday pin. 27 4 from the left. And he birdied the hole to start off with, and I thought I was the greatest caddy in the world.
So did he. Yeah. So did he.
And I'm thinking, man, a lot of them are superstitious, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I did, unfortunately, have Ernie Els in 2016 when he had trouble with that first hole. So I had Vijay Singh here 1 year, and he chipped in on the first hole for birdie. So I've had, you know, good times, and unfortunately, you know, golf – golf can humble you.
Oh, yeah, every day. You and I have some stories off of this show we should share about our friend Ernie. Ernie's a mess. I've spent a lot of time with him, too, and he's something else to be around.
Great golfer.
Oh, he's fabulous golfer. He watches me swing, and he says, "Well, do you play any other sports? Because I would suggest that you go do that."
Yeah, as my friend says, you have a swing only a mother could love.
Exactly. Listen, you know, we're sitting here, of course, at Azalea House, and you're getting ready to head over.
Sure. Excited about today.
That's what I was going to ask. I mean, you know, Cam Smith closed that gap. Scottie Scheffler is just a fantastic young man. There's no doubt about it. Do you think he can weather the storm today?
Well, everything depends on Cameron Smith. He puts the pressure on him. You got to remember, these are two golfers, great golfers, that have won tournaments this year, big tournaments, but neither one of them have a major on their resume.
Yeah.
But naturally, they want one on their resume. I picked Scottie Scheffler earlier in the week with a couple other players.
I did too.
And one of the reasons I picked him was Ted, who's caddying for him, used to caddy for Bubba. He's got two green jackets under his belt, and I felt that Ted could provide maybe some patience. Maybe, you know, when you get in trouble, the worst thing that can happen to a pro golfer is at Augusta or any place, but in a major, you know, maybe I can get it through there, and you don't stay patient, and all of a sudden,
yeah,
you didn't take your medicine, you didn't try to just get it up and down and make a U.S. Open par, and you walk off of there with an 8 or a 7. By the time you know it, you're like, what were we thinking about? So I think someone like Ted, who does a great job, and
good caddy, really,
yeah,
good caddy.
Yeah, and Bubba, obviously a great player. I mean, let's face it, these guys are good enough. They could win with a volunteer.
I mean, Bubba, I call Bubba the architect of wow,
yeah,
because he can pull off stuff I've just never seen anything like.
And I don't think Bubba Watson really gets enough credit for his craftsmanship. I mean, winning one green jacket, I mean, that's a feat within itself. That guy has two green jackets.
Yeah.
I mean, do you know the names that are titled to two green jackets? Langer, Crenshaw, Elizabeth.
Those are just very few names tied to that.
Yeah, double Masters winners.
Louis Oosthuizen, he broke Louis Oosthuizen's heart. I mean, with that shot coming out of the hinterlands that year, that just was an incredible shot. Anyway, what would you say to people who are critical of the Masters and Augusta National, or the National as we say, being not a tough enough field? And that's been said. It says it's the easiest major to win. I have a problem with that statement. I think they should come out here and have their house on the line and have to play 18 holes with somebody, personally. But how do you feel about that? I mean,
give me the question again.
The people who say, and there are people out there in the media,
sure.
That say, well, you know, the Masters is probably the easiest major to win.
Right.
Because they don't feel like this field is so deep. I think the field is the course, personally. And I think it's probably the toughest to win because the most pressure's on you here to win.
Well, let's put it this way. They invite the top 50 players in the world.
Yeah.
Okay, so we can stop right there.
Well spoken.
Yeah, if 50 of the greatest are here and you're not in that top 50 – I only have one thing to say to you. I wish you could get here next year.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And as far as the golf course is concerned, one thing about caddying it many times I can remember going to Hilton Head. You know, it's a couple hours down the road.
RBC, right down the road.
Down the road, getting in my car, caddying at Hilton Head, and it felt like I was on a public golf course. It was so much easier to caddy. Flat terrain, you know. Down. I mean, one thing about Augusta, you have to factor in the uphill, the downhill, the firmness of the green, the wind. The one thing about the wind here, you may think you have it, but you don't, because it swirls in here. And so there's so many other factors. If you listen to the commentators like Faldo and these guys talk about down at 12, I heard Faldo talking about it, and I'm always listening because I'm trying to learn too. And there's little nuances of the course that all these green jacket guys have had for years. Like at number 13, Fuzzy Zeller always used to say, whatever the yardage was to the front, just add 10. Because it's a little downhill lie, and you don't catch it just as flush as you could. So there's nuances around here that make it even more difficult to win. That's why there's double and triple winners here, multiple winners.
But there's been one rookie who won here, and you're talking about him right now, and that's Fuzzy. He's the only one to have ever won here. Is that not still correct?
No, that's not true. Gene Sarazen won
I'm sorry. Sarazen. I'm sorry. Mr. Sarazen up in heaven, I apologize. But everybody says, in modern day.
One thing about Fuzzy Zeller, caddying for him for 12 years, I didn't hear him say it, but I heard Jack mention about Fuzzy, his ball striking.
Yes.
I mean, Fuzzy Zeller was just a naturally gifted, talented man.
But his putting, he didn't get credit for his putting. People don't talk about that, and I've always thought he was one of the greatest putters out there.
Oh, and early in his day,
he was fearless.
I'll tell you this. I don't think he had a weakness. One of the things that was interesting about Fuzzy Zeller, he only warmed up with even number clubs.
Really?
2, 4, 6, 8. He would only warm up with even number clubs.
I did not know that.
When he was growing up as a kid, he had the 1, 3, 5, and 7.
Okay. Couldn't afford the whole set.
Couldn't afford the whole set. So on the range, he only warms up with even number clubs.
That's a tidbit that we're gonna copyright that right here. Casey and I are for Golf Talk America and PGA Tour Countdown, our shows. But it's gonna be a great day.
Back to today. I think Scotty Scheffler knows with a 3-shot lead, if you make one birdie, he's got to make 5 birdies to beat me. So, in fairness, it's Scotty Scheffler's tournament to win or lose. Ball's in his court.
You've been around this game a long time, and Scotty Scheffler, I'm sure you know him. He's a friend of ours and on the show a lot. Randy Smith is, out of Dallas. Great instructor. He had Justin Leonard. He's got Ryan Palmer now today. Scotty Scheffler, since Scotty was 7 years old. And I ran into Randy over there this week and made it a point to go see Scotty and Randy and talk to him. And he looked at me and he said, I'd bet the farm. He said, I would just bet the farm because the kid is just hotter than a firecracker.
Well, and if you watch him emotionally, he's intact.
Stable. Well, you said that about Teddy Scott. Teddy Scott is so stable and so calming and so knowledgeable about this golf course and what it takes to win on it, obviously carrying the bag for Bubba for those two big wins here.
Well, I think I've listened to golf pros over the years that have won majors, and when they've complimented a caddy, which doesn't come very often, it's like leap year, but once every 4 years. But when they have complimented a caddy, one thing I've heard them say over the years, and great players that are major winners, that person is the same all the time. If I'm leading, if I'm playing poorly, if I'm making double, when in trouble, make a double. If I birdie 5 in a row, that person stays the same the whole time. Teddy Scott, you look at Joe LaCava, look at Bones, those guys do not move.
A stabilizing demeanor is what I call that. That's like in a marriage.
Yeah, they're level par.
One of the two starts hollering at each other, then it all goes to hell in a handbag.
Yeah, you got to have one that's totally...
somebody that's smart.
Yeah, you got to have one that's in control of their emotions and their mind to avoid making a mental error.
Yeah.
Which can happen fast out there.
On that golf course, you bet it can.
And one thing... as a caddy, a lot of us have talked about, it came from Hogan, there's only one time you can really help your player on the front, and maybe one time you can help him on the back. The thing about caddying that makes it euphoric is you don't know when that one time is going to come. And then when it does arrive, you go, okay, is this where I weigh in? Or is this where I should say something? And so when you weigh in, you better be right.
Well, that's the toughest thing I would think for you guys out there is when do you say what you really want to say and need to say to either get your player fired up or get your player calmed down?
When you're sure.
When you're sure.
When you're sure.
When you're sure. That's when you say it.
And then like you said, Tiger said, it's a feel.
Yeah.
Like if I've catted for you like Fuzzy, you know, if I know he's feeling it, just get out of his way. You think Secretariat needed Turcotte to ride him?
No,
I don't think so.
Absolutely not. I'm glad you brought that horse up. I use that a lot.
Yeah, I mean, Tiger Woods, in fairness, I mean, he did say in his Hall of Fame that he had good caddies, which he did. But, I mean, look at how great a player he is. I mean, these guys, I don't think get the credit they deserve for how great they are.
In your opinion, is Tiger Woods the most mentally tough golfer to ever play the game? I know that's a tough question to throw at you, but
wow.
you've been with a lot of big-name players.
I could say, well, obviously, if you look at his career, it's hard to deny it, but, you know, starting with Nicklaus and Nick Faldo. Nick Faldo is like the story that Claude Harmon told about his dad when he made a hole-in-one at 12, and he's having dinner with Ben Hogan because they were pals, and he said, Ben, you didn't even comment on my shot there on 12 after he made a hole-in-one, and Hogan said it didn't help me one bit.
That's a competitor.
Right.
That's a winner
right there.
Hey, I know we don't have much time left, and please promise me you'll come back on this show,
sure.
And we'll just dedicate a show to sit down, have a cocktail, and just chat.
Yeah, I'm headed over to the course, and to your point on today, maybe when we get to Amen Corner, maybe the tournament will just begin.
That's always the way. Hey, listen, before you go, tell me what you're up to these days. I think you have a project going on or something.
Oh, yeah. I'm in the alcohol business.
You're my kind of guy.
Yeah.
I went to Ole Miss.
Oh, sure. We started a company called C&L Imports, and we make the American Baileys cream.
From
Wisconsin. It's got alcohol in it. We have 6 flavors. We sell it all over the United States. Total Wine is one of our biggest customers.
Okay.
And it keeps me busy. Our warehouse is in Baltimore, and people are very thirsty.
Yep, and I'm quite parched this morning also, watching you with that nice-looking cocktail over there, and I'm still having to record stuff, but I'll be done shortly, and I'll have a cocktail, and I'll be over there if I see you.
And thank you for your time.
Oh, no. It's been totally my pleasure. Casey Kerr, it's an honor to finally meet you.
Sure.
And please don't be a stranger.
Yes, sir.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
And that was really interesting, Frank. I mean, you said he's a class act, Casey Kerr, and obviously the stories. And I'm sure he can't tell all of them.
No.
On the tour, I can imagine the things he's seen and heard, right?
We talked about some stuff, but that is totally off the record. And unlike some other people in the media, I'm not going to throw anybody under the bus.
Kiss and tell.
I don't kiss and tell. I just kiss.
Good for you.
My dog,
good.
Every morning, right in the face. He kisses me right in the face.
Good for you.
Bogey.
Good for you.
Anyway, it was fun. It was fun being with him. And then, of course, he took off right after that and had to head over to see some folks on the course. And we weren't that far behind him. But we spent a lot more time than we usually do out on the course, as opposed to Media Center and then, of course, at our hospitality house, Azalea House. So,
when you said Bloody Mary, it occurred to me that the last time I was there, maybe the first time that I went to Augusta, and I've only been there a few times, and we stayed at Azalea House, but we walked up the street, and as you walk up whatever street that is.
Azalea Drive.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
It's on? And it goes right to the clubhouse, and you're right there. But you walk past other hospitality houses that people have now kind of taken that neighborhood over, if you will. And one of them that we were walking by was Wheels Up.
Yes.
And you and I walked up there. And so we went in there, and I think they rebuilt the whole house, because it's a lot bigger house than, if I remember, than most of those houses in that neighborhood.
Oh, yeah.
Are.
Oh, yeah. They build it every year that way. It's a prefab.
Oh, it's a major, major big house event kind of thing. That's the first place I ever had a fireball. I don't know why
that
stands out to me. When you said Bloody Mary, and I thought, I think of Augusta, and I think of fireball, because we went over to the bar, and the guy goes, hey, you want to try something? I'm like, yeah, it's called fireball. I'm like, okay, it was frozen. Remember, you got it like out of a freezer, and the glass is frozen and all that. And I'm thinking, that went down pretty good. And I remember you and I both going, we can't sit here all day because there's about five of those and we'll both be slipping down under the floor and going to sleep. But that's what I remember about it, is walking up and going to Wheels Up Hospitality House, and
yeah,
it's like a frat house, and having a fireball.
Yeah,
it was one of my memories.
There are several houses, and then right, it's just a block. We're just a block at Azalea off of Washington Road, which is, and a block off of Magnolia Lane.
Right.
And there are a bunch of houses there. Well, we're welcome at all of them. So you and I did frequent all of them in our little walks. But right up that street to the right, all the trailers are there, all the tractor trailers for PXG, for Titleist, for Ping, for Cobra, TaylorMade, and so on. All of the trailers are there because they're, you know, supporting the players that week. Now, this year, I didn't have you there with me. I didn't have a good friend, Brendan Sweeney, there with me. I didn't have a sidekick, so I was kind of running alone this year trying to do all that, which is crazy. That ain't happening again, buddy. Somebody's going, you're coming next year. But I didn't have the opportunity to go visit the trailers because usually we get some pretty cool swag from those trailers. So this year I didn't have the opportunity to do that, darn it. So I came home with more things that I paid for than things that I didn't pay for. So went to the gift shop, and I said, okay, here's my budget. My budget is X. Well, guess what? It's kind of like as you get older, you have to wear bigger shirts. My budget turned out to be a 4X when I got out of there. Yeah. Yeah. Do you know how expensive a little charm is for your wife's bracelet? A little sterling silver master's charm that hangs off the Pandora bracelet? Good Lord.
But if you get a golf shirt, like if you go on the grounds, and we've talked about this, the prices are crazy low. Are you getting golf shirts or
100
beers
bucks.
And 100
bucks
food
for
and
a golf
stuff
shirt.
Like that?
The food
saying,
and the beer is low.
Open,
US Open
or big event, they're $200 for the golf shirt.
Exactly.
And I'm saying Augusta could charge $500. People would still
buy it. Yeah.
Take as many as they could take. By the way, my last question. I know we got to go here.
Well, no, I still got to tell you this one. We have an entire glassware set from Augusta in this house.
That was another purchase you made. You said.
Yeah. She saw it. Of course, my wife Pamela flew in midweek to be there, so she kind of helped me out. But
and her arms are still sore.
Oh, yeah, it was tough. It was a flew in on the winds. Glassware, Augusta, Masters glassware.
Really?
And I said, well, why don't we just get rid of the crystal and china and stuff and just eat off paper plates with pimento cheese sandwiches and the Masters glassware?
There you go.
That didn't go over big.
No.
But, she made out really well, and we had a lot of fun. It's worth it. I mean, if you get a chance to go, folks, you got to go to the Masters. You're crazy not to.
So here's my question. I'm listening to local radio here, and they're watching on TV talking about it the next day or whatever. And one of them mentions, you know what? There's the Masters is beautiful, and the scenery and the ponds and everything else. Okay. And they go, and you hear birds chirping on the broadcast a lot, but they go, have you ever seen a bird? Do they ever show birds? Have you ever seen a duck sitting in one of those ponds? Is there ever a squirrel that run? And you and I have talked about that before, going,
we're not
going
to go there.
Where are the animals?
Don't go there.
It's like a paradise.
It's their vacation week.
I would move from Georgia as any squirrel and somehow get hook a ride and get to Augusta because it's where I'd want to live as a squirrel. See them. Where are they?
Good Lord.
Where are they, Frank?
It's their week off. They take it's their spring break.
There's no ducks on the ponds.
Well,
come on, Frank. I need some.
We're not going to go there on this one. So, hey, thanks for listening, folks.
Something's up. That's all I'm saying.
Hey, let me tell you.
I asked that question. I was like, I'm laughing, thinking, yeah, we've talked about that.
How did you like the drone coverage this year?
Beautiful, beautiful.
It was unbelievable, wasn't it? I watched the replays at night, late, laying in bed, trying to go to sleep, which you can't. But here's what happened this year. Somebody with the FAA, the Federal Aviation Agency, messed up. Here comes final approach Delta Airlines into Augusta right over the top of Augusta National during the tournament.
During this play? Oh, really?
I would not want to be that pilot, that air traffic controller, or the administrator of the FAA, and maybe even the president, because I'm sure there was a phone call made to somebody about, like, get that dang plane away from our tournament.
Do you think there was a guy up there going, if you look out your left side of the plane, you'll see Augusta National. Enjoy it because you'll never see this view ever again.
No, hopefully enjoy it because we're about to be shot down by F-16s that are alongside.
Yeah.
They don't
with the logo of the Masters on their tail. Right?
Yeah, the tail number.
They got their own airport over there behind 18.
Yeah.
That's funny.
A-N-G-C. It took me a minute to visualize.
And that's to the point of you saying no planes, no, you know, where the ducks and everything else. That is a totally controlled area. You talk about the Pentagon. That is the Pentagon of professional sports,
is
Augusta National. It is, excuse me, whatever they want it to be. It's, like I said, you hear the birds chirping. Not where they're
don't
sure
go
where
there.
They are.
We're not going there. They're there. They're there. Told to stay in their nests and just chirp lightly.
Yes, they're very, very.
Golf clap.
Well, they're very well-behaved animals at Augusta National.
They are the feathered patrons of Augusta National Golf Club. And feathered and furry patrons of Augusta National Golf Club.
All patrons. Well, I'm glad you had a great time.
It was fabulous.
Great,
it was fabulous.
Great time. Yeah, it was great to
All right.
To experience it at least through you. So
yeah.
Hey, thanks to Azalea Hospitality too for putting up with Frank for the week. Thank you so much, Marcus, for doing that, Billy. We appreciate it. Thank you to French Lick and the great people at French Lick. Frank will be there coming up pretty shortly. And we'll be going live from French Lick, and you'll get a feel, if you will, a taste of French Lick, Indiana, coming up. And also Club Corp, we love them. Go to clubcorp.com, find out a golf course near you. Frank and I are members in Tennessee and in Texas, and you can be a member too. They're all over the country, clubcorp.com. For Frank Bassett, I'm Tim Matthews. Thanks for joining us, and remember to be here next time for Golf Talk America.